Welcome to the 100% Financed Podcast, home of entrepreneurs, business owners, and real estate investors everywhere. 100PF is not just an online business, it's a culture, helping you make more money while maintaining pretty credit. If you're looking for great content on credit repair, business credit, creative financing, motivation, and online business, then you found the right podcast. Listen up as Juan Pablo, the People's Mentor, presents another great podcast episode for your listening pleasure. Juan Pablo, give these beautiful people the tools they need to succeed.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Juan Pablo from the 100% Finance Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So we have another episode for you guys in regard to turning a passion into a profit. So right now we have a special guest. We have Faye. What's going on, Faye?
Hey, how you doing, Juan?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining the podcast. I know we met at a networking event, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yep. So that's how we do it, guys.
Yes.
So go ahead, Faye.
I say we met at the Pro Business Channel networking at the Microsoft Store. Great connection. So I'm so happy to meet you guys.
Excellent. We're so happy to have you on our podcast. So let's jump right into it. So, Faye, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what do you do in regard to your business?
Okay, well, I am a recent graduate from Georgia State Robinson Business School College with a master's in international business. I went and took international business because I had already started my hairline, and I know that I need to expand into other markets. So what I do is I am the owner of Hair Candy Hair Company, and we are an online retailer, wholesaler of human hair extensions and wigs. And later this summer, additional products as well. Mm-hmm. To sum it up.
Excellent. Oh, yeah. Next question. So I like the name Candy Nation. I think that's very creative. So what is Candy Nation, and why do entrepreneurs need to create communities in their businesses?
Okay, well, Candy Nation was started kind of as a hashtag. And speaking with different entrepreneurs who do social media networks, it's important to drive people to your site and engage them. So it's kind of like a subscription. So when someone logs onto haircandycompany.com, which is actually H-E-R, Her Candy Company, it pops up that they can subscribe. And that subscription allows them access to different specials, promotion, certain videos that we won't just post everywhere. We collaborate with local professionals in the beauty industry here in the Atlanta area. So they'll have videos for education on how to color hair, how to choose the right stylist for installation, how to actually wear a wig, keep it on, style it. So just some, you know, to engage our customers and provide additional information and reward them with specials that the general public doesn't have. So Candy Nation is all about a culture within Her Candy Company.
Perfect. And why is it important for entrepreneurs to create their own communities within their own businesses?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's important because just even on the other side, as a consumer, everybody wants exclusivity. So that's kind of keeps to have that community within your business, it creates loyalty. Everyone wants to feel like they're special, like they're, you know, because of they shot with you, that you will reward them with something additional. And I think it's important, especially for startups, to create that, because you can also launch different things from learning and engaging that community within your business. They can teach you things to help grow your business as you reward them and engage them. So I think it's important. It provides other opportunities.
You're absolutely right. Everybody wants to feel special, you know, I'm a part of this group, you know. But from an entrepreneur standpoint as well, outside of just from the consumer standpoint, from a business standpoint, having that community mm-hmm. can serve as a focus group. Mm-hmm. So if you have a group of customers or clients who've already purchased your product, and then you have a focus group in which you can ask them questions, hey, what do you think about this new product that we're offering? Hey, what do you think about any changes that need to be implemented? hey, what are your thought processes about our brand, or what areas of improvement do you have for our company? So that would help you grow as a business owner, simply by having a focus group, or in other words, a community. All right, so that's excellent, Faye. So the next question I have for you is, what products and or services does your company provide?
Okay, well, Hair Candy Hair Company, tangible products are the hair bundles and wigs, and soon to be like shampoos, moisturizer, edge tamer, scarves, bonnets. But our core competency is education. Part of the candy, as I mentioned previously, part of the Candy Nation package is online tutorials on how to purchase weave, how to wear a wig, other customer reviews, and soon online courses for both professionals and for customers. So our product is actually hair, but our core competence, our service, is the education.
Excellent. Now, what about beard extensions? Do you guys offer that as a product?
Beard extensions, I have seen that, but I have not ventured into that sector yet. I'm still growing in my business, honing those skills, and becoming an expert in what I currently do before I open too many doors. I want to be an absolute expert in our core products right now. But I have seen that.
Yeah, actually, I meant it as a joke. I didn't think you were going to take it seriously.
No, I have seen beard extensions. I have been, this industry is ever evolving, you know. So with everyone being very health conscious, want to be, you know, focused on their appearance, I mean, it's not far-fetched that that may be something we offer in the future. I have seen it through YouTube videos. I've heard of it in the industry, and I'm like, wow, for real? So, hey. From eyebrows to eyelashes to hair to beard, anything that has hair, hey. We
make
your offering.
but I like your answer. I like your answer, Faye, because even though you said, well, I see a new market, I see a new product, however, we're going to stick to what we're good at first, make sure that's airtight. Mm-hmm. And then once we have that on autopilot, then we can entertain either another product or even another demographic, because being that your company is her, H-E-R,
mm-hmm.
Candy, so perhaps your main demographic may be women. So
yes.
Maybe later on, if you decide to as a company, can entertain a different demographic and also supply different products as well.
That is true. But I know I was asked a question a while ago, why did I choose the hair business? And so my answer was Hair Candy Hair Company was created to become part of many milestones and high points in women's lives. So our hair has been featured at weddings, proms, first dates, job interviews, family portraits, and many vacations. So we want to be to women what Nike is to sports. The show can go on without us, but because of us, women are able to look and feel their best on some of the biggest days of their lives. And we are honored that they allow us to be part of those moments. So that is the driving passion for hair, the opportunity for our clients to shine. And like I said, in the future, they may also expand over into my men.
Excellent, excellent. So it seems that hair is a passion for you. So what was that defining moment for you, Faye, to say, you know what, I'm going to convert my passion into a profit? And how did you do it?
I had I had heard the chatter and the conversation for several years from friends, from actually my brother was the final person who was like, you know what, I've done a little research, and he's actually out of Houston, and he had seen companies pop up and start to grow. And we just had this conversation about it. And I was like, you know, people have presented this to me or just had a conversation that they were interested in going into the business. So, but I never was, even though I always was a consumer. But so I sat down, did a little research, and I was like, this actually just, it makes sense. And I'm already in the business, you know, because I've been a consumer for quite some time. So, hey, I started like a lot of people, let's just get into it, see if we can make some extra money and go from there. But it actually turned out to be really fun and educational at the same time.
Oh, excellent. I like what you mentioned earlier about the main thing that you sell is education.
Mm-hmm.
and then you sell hair to go along with it. And that reminded me of McDonald's when people said, when Ray Kroc asked the question about what is McDonald's in the business of doing, and many people said, well, selling hamburgers. And he said, no, buying real estate.
Yeah, it's real estate.
They have the most prime locations for their McDonald's, you know, so real estate is the utmost important. So that's the same thing goes with your company, that educating the consumer on your product, and that will ease those reservations they have and combine it. Would you agree with that, or would you like to add anything to that?
I totally agree with it. It is, I don't know if you're really familiar with the market, but because of celebrity endorsements with hair extensions and wigs, now everyone, it's a very saturated industry. So a lot of people are buying based on what they see someone else wearing, but it may not necessarily be for them. But on the flip side, what people don't show you is the horror stories about people wearing hair extensions and wigs and how they damage, you know, their own natural hair. So our goal is to make sure that hair candy is an accessory, not a necessity, so you're able to take care of our hair as well as your own.
Perfect, perfect. So you mentioned earlier that you successfully converted your passion into a profit, into a viable business.
Mm-hmm.
What steps do you have for that entrepreneur listening to this podcast today who's also passionate about a separate business but wants to convert that passion into a profit?
Okay, that is a really good question. The first thing I would suggest is to learn everything you can about how business is done. I don't think it necessarily matters what the product is, but you should know how business gets done. And this is not necessarily a formal education, but in whatever current role they are in at work, working for someone else and learning the do's and don'ts are essential. So even if they don't like their 9-to-5, just learn everything you can about how, you know, it operates from the inside out. So you can take that expertise, you know, you were paid to get that expertise, and start implementing it into whatever business, you know, tangible product or service you want to have. Secondly, you got to have a business plan and look at it and update it often. Know your customers and your competitors. Have a great product or service. Whatever it is you're going to get into, make sure it's the best or very close, or you price it based on the quality of it. And lastly, get a mentor. Because most people who go into business for themselves are not in a position where they have family members who are entrepreneurs or business owners. So you're asking questions of people who don't really have valuable answers. So I would suggest get a mentor and surround yourself with like-minded people.
Absolutely. So that's how we connected, right? Surround ourselves with like-minded people at a networking event.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's just how it is, people. So, Faye, you brought up a good point, and I might be misquoting this or pulling this from the wrong resource, but I think it was Michael Gerber who mentioned this in his book, E-Myth, and he was speaking in front of a classroom of college students, and he posed a question, asking them, how many of you guys can make a hamburger better than McDonald's? Virtually everyone in that classroom raised their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asked, well, how come all of you don't have a $1 billion business? And
wow.
Then they had a dumb look on their face, right? And it proves your point that you mentioned in your first step, Dave, is one thing just to make a great product, whether it's a delicious cheeseburger or even great hair product. But it's another thing if you know how to run a great business, and that's what McDonald's does. They have systems in place.
They do, yeah.
So you guys got to be able to incorporate that with your passion. So it's somewhat of an equation. Passion plus system equals profit. Or let's just rearrange it so it could be some alliteration.
Yes.
Passion plus processes equal profit.
Profit, yes.
Okay, Faye. Yep. So next question I have for you, Faye, for all the listeners out there who may be inquired to know, can an entrepreneur leverage their current skill set into a business that can operate with little to none of their own involvement? If so, how?
That is an interesting question. And so I'm going to just say yes. I think the best entrepreneurs are not as hands-on. Well, let me just say entrepreneurs are typically hands-on with their business or idea because they consider it their baby. However, the leverage comes in when they have actually mastered the skill of recruitment. Having like-minded people in the organization, having people who your vision is now theirs, they live, breathe, and sleep the vision, it frees you up to take advantage of other opportunities while you have a team supporting your current state and helping you get to the next level. So, for example, in the book Shoe Dog by founder and creator of Nike, Phil Knight, he spent most of his time with manufacturers in Japan. Yet his shoe sales doubled year on year because of his dedicated team. Like, literally, he's in Japan trying to negotiate additional, you know, shoes in his contract. But the people that he actually hired, he never really, like, sold them on anything. They just seen the potential and his passion for making runners run better. And these people were on their own time drafting up shoes, different designs, out testing different products. Literally without even his involvement, this company was becoming a more science than just a shoe company, you know, because he had mastered the skill of recruiting the right people. Been a struggle for me. But in that sense, if you have the right people on board, then absolutely yes. You can be less hands-on.
Yes, I agree with that. It is important, you listeners out there, to understand that it's important to have passion because the passion will spread amongst your team members to the point they take ownership because they believe in that strong why. And so even though the business owner, the entrepreneur, may be focused on acquisition, you know, acquiring new business, new equipment, new assets, and so forth, but the team may be involved with the management of the assets that you currently own. But if they're passionate and they see your vision for the company, then they too will be passionate enough to do their best in the company. So I agree with that as well, Faye. All right, so the next question I have, what are the three people who had the biggest impact on your business?
Okay, also a good question. And actually, I have to ponder this, but as I had stated earlier, as entrepreneurs and business owners, a lot of people who start businesses don't have people in their circle who have been business owners. So you have to look outside of your circle for that inspiration, which I did. So I'm reading a lot of books. So Phil Knight, the founder of Nike, is one. Jack Ma, who is also the founder of Alibaba, is another. And Natalie Fikes, she is my coach. So I have a phone call with her for about an hour once a week. And that just started about 3 weeks ago, but it has made a big difference, and it holds me accountable to the things that I say I'm going to do last Monday to make sure that when she speaks to me this Monday that I have accomplished those. So those three people.
That's a good point about the accountability. Do you think that you would become a successful entrepreneur without that accountability aspect?
Not myself personally. Some people just have that. It's just embedded in them that they're going to succeed no matter what. I get distracted easily, so I have to have something or someone, you know. I work off of schedules and calendars, and I like to scratch things off once I get them done. But it's also important for me to have somebody in my life who's kind of like my cheerleader or my disciplinary. For me, I need that.
Great. Now, I assume you had somebody in your life who's your anti-cheerleader, just hating, just throwing hate at you from every single angle, right? Because you have people like that. Some of them may be family members. They mean well. Hey, why would you want to start your own business? She has a nice, cushy paycheck. What do you say to the entrepreneur who's facing those same issues?
Oh, it's painful. It's really painful. What I would suggest is that when you decide to start a business or come up with some unique idea, understand that's your vision. And don't have great expectations for the people in your circle. That could be a spouse, children, or whatever, because they are going to typically be the last people that sign on. They're going to wait till the rest of the world has validated your product or service before they actually start utilizing it or supporting you. So my suggestion is what I said earlier. You have to go out and actively surround yourself with like-minded people, or it will be a struggle to stay in any business, even if you're making a profit. Or even if you're having business, you have to just keep that ongoing positivity and energy and innovation from like-minded people around you. So you can love them, but you don't lay out your business plan to them. You don't tell them your next move because they really don't care. Until you're a success, they're not going to pay attention or support. So go find your people.
Got it. Now, let's assume, for instance, say that there's a person out there who's extremely passionate about something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been 2 to 3 years of operating this business, and they have yet to turn their passion into a profit.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a negative cash flow situation for them, again, for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you have? Or what diagnosis would you have for that individual?
Okay, well, if they're still in it, they obviously are very passionate. What I would do is probably revisit the business plan, and I would start talking to other people who are in the same field, because nothing is new under the sun. So I would try to talk to people who are literally in my industry and see what I'm missing. It could be something as simple as, like for me on my Instagram, if you get a lot of likes, I go in and look and see who's liking. But a big problem for us with the people that were liking our photos were not people who would purchase our product. So I had to go out and try to hire someone to consult and say, look, how do I understand where my demographic is and how do I actually target them? So sometimes passion, but the analytics, they don't align. So you have to go get what you're missing, but you have to constantly be research and doing your due diligence, holding your business accountable to see where, you know, what's lacking, why you can't bridge the gap. So once again, finding those people and on an ongoing basis asking yourself better questions. Because if you got the passion, I mean, that's a huge part of it, but it also has to make sense. So somewhere, if you're not making a profit, something's not making sense, figure out what that is, find out how to make it make sense, and get on the road to being in the green.
Hopefully when you say make sense, you're talking about C-E-N-T-S, right? You have to make sure it makes sense.
Absolutely. And then sometimes just the things we do when you start off, like I said, you don't have a mentor or a coach, so you're just throwing stuff against the wall because when you see other businesses like yours, then, you know, they're succeeding, so you try to mimic them, but you don't really have the full information of what's going on behind the scenes that makes their machine work much better than yours. Like, you could have an outside of your car could look really great, but if you don't have the same type of engine under the hood, it's not going to perform the same way. And so businesses are very much like that.
Oh, yeah, I'm digging the analogy, and that's very true. And that could be very tough, say, for the entrepreneur who has a following, for example, the community like you mentioned earlier, and they're giving quality content. They're spending their time and their efforts and their resources, monetarily speaking, on mm-hmm. providing value to the community. However, if they're providing value to a certain demographic and they just want everything to be freebies, quote-unquote scavengers, and some of y'all might be scavengers listening to my podcast. Listen to every podcast, watch every video, they ain't buy the third thing. I'm talking to y'all. But I still love you, but the downside is you do have to make a profit. You're not doing this as a non-profit.
Right.
You're not doing this as charity. You're trying to turn a profit. If you're extending value, then why not get some type of contribution for your value, some type of monetary compensation for your value. So my next question is this day, which is pretty much the reverse of the question I just asked you prior. Let's say a person does have a profitable business, but they have no passion for it whatsoever. Is that a good thing or a bad thing, and why?
Wow, that's interesting, because you hear stories of people who be like, yeah, it wasn't what I really wanted to do, but, you know, we made $2 million. I'm like, wow, how can I be down? But what I've heard from just very successful people, be it celebrities, be it founders of companies, that if you're not totally excited about what you do, then you need to do something else because it's not sustainable. And that's true. If you think about any relationship that you had, if it was a strain for relationship, if you wasn't excited about it, you was trying to figure out an exit plan as opposed to a growth plan, and that's going to pretty much be the same thing like in business. So if you're not passionate about it, it's not sustainable. So they might want to take something that they have and go put it in something that they love.
Well, in regards to the relationship, my thing is just outsourcing. So if you have a girlfriend and you're not too passionate or in love with her, just outsource that. You know, you could probably go on TaskRabbit or Upwork.com. Mm-hmm. And you just get a stand-in, you know, and find something else that you're passionate about.
That is hilarious. Find somebody else to do it because it's profitable and free your time up to do something you like while you're still making a lot of money.
Right, because she may have other benefits, you know. She might be a sugar mama. You never know. So you want to keep that relationship going, mm-hmm. you know. So the point that I'm making, guys, is even though you might not be 100% passionate about it, you got to have somebody on your team who is. And let that person be the engine, if you will, of your business, who's running the show, the operational manager, the COO of your company, while you go into other ventures. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes, like you mentioned, celebrities, they might see your idea, say, for example, as a viable concept in the viable business, and you have a viable product. But they might not be 100% passionate about your company. However, they say, hey, I see your vision. I like what you're doing. I would like to be a part of it. Just monetarily speaking, I'll be an investor of yours. However, I don't want to deal with the operations and so forth. But they would love to partner with you, and that's what we see on Shark Tank all the time. They partner with companies who are passionate about what they do, but they have some shortcomings. Either they don't have the capital, or they're lacking something with processes or things of that nature. But they partner with the shark because the shark will be willing to bring the missing piece to the puzzle to their company.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do you have anything to piggyback off of that? Or
yeah, absolutely. If there's anyone who's listening who's interested in an investment where you're not hands-on, then Hair Candy Hair Company is definitely open to speak with you.
Yeah, right. You put that word out there. Well, you can call me on my cell phone at I'm open 24 hours a day. So speaking of which, mm-hmm. what product, promotion, or business would you like to promote? And how would you like people to reach out to you?
Oh, well, people can reach out to me on Instagram at Hair Candy Company. And once again, I want to reiterate it's hair, H-E-R. That's how we say hair in St. Louis is her. So it's her. Candy Company. So it's hercandycompany.com is the website. At hercandycompany is the Instagram. Or my number is directly, if you have any questions, is 404-454-5653, especially those investors or like-minded people who would like to team up. For the promotion, right now we're having if you go onto our website, haircandycompany.com, and any bundle deal that's purchased, you'll automatically get a free bundle. So you don't have to put any codes or anything in the system, just log in, choose the texture you want, choose a bundle deal, and then you order 3 in the bundle deal, you'll get 4 bundles. So we look forward to serving you.
That's true. I remember that Chingy song. I like it when you do it right there, but it's there, but it says there. So I can understand how, you know, the pronunciation there based upon where you're from in St. Louis. So last question I have for you, Faye. Mm-hmm. What are the last words of wisdom for those aspiring entrepreneurs out there?
Start with the end in mind. Start with the end in mind. Ask yourself better questions at the beginning and all throughout the life of your business. So what's really driving you to take some of the punches and the bumps and bruises that go on as an entrepreneur or business owner. Because if you don't have a strong enough why, when it gets tough, you know, you're going to switch lanes, go in another direction, or quit altogether. So you have to have a big why. Start with the end in mind.
Yes, that's Dr. Stephen Covey right there, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I can see why you're so highly effective, Faye, and I appreciate you carving out the time to join our podcast. So there you have it, guys. You have a successful entrepreneur, networking, practicing what she's preaching, and she's passionate about what she does, and she's making money off of it as a result.
Yay!
That's the key, right? Be highly paid for what you love to do. So thank you, Faye. I appreciate you joining us this podcast episode. And as always, guys, this is to your success. Continue to earn passively and live passionately. Peace.